Hi, good people. Hello. Hello, Winnipeg. Hello, frozen tundra. Hello, world. Not hello, internet. That's copyrighted. Hello, everyone who is listening to us wherever you can find us. And welcome to another Power Hour episode, or Power 50 Minutes episode, due to Winnipeg traffic, of Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two bros and a third guy, only live on 101.5 UMFM and UMFM.com, and found in podcast form on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever else you get your podcasts, with some notable exceptions that we won't go into today. I'm your father, son of the goalie host, Simon Pazzer, joined in the studio by my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazzer and Matthew Manny. How we doing, lads?
We're doing good.
Yeah, I'm in recovery, so...
Preach.
Yeah, exactly.
We're both still limping around. Okay, so we had...
And bit of news from me.
Hit me.
I found out either this morning or last night that my thesis was officially accepted. So now it's really official that I have a master's in computer science.
Well, congratulations.
Yay.
I thought we knew last week, so was that not
okay,
official?
So... what happened two Fridays ago, which would have been announced last week, was that I defended the thesis and I got approved by the defense committee. But in order to actually get it, you have to upload it and have it approved by the MSpace people who handle all these things. And that had to be... That was literally... It wasn't so much a question of, is it going to get approved? Is it going to get approved in time? Because the deadline is this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm now at the end of the master's degree term, it was this or bust. So, yeah, now the rubber stamp has been applied.
There you go.
And now it's just a waiting game till February until I get the actual degree.
Are stamps rubber? I guess they are.
Well, that's just more of an expression. But
I guess I thought of a stamp would be... I don't
but
even
yes,
know if
are
I thought
rubber.
What a stamp
I guess it
would
probably
be.
Is rubber.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You don't really have, like, stamps lying around like you used to.
Yeah. It's not a big a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, have you guys been playing, before we get into our main topic of the day, which is going to be to go over part of what we did last week, have you guys been playing anything interesting that you want to shout out?
I've just been playing more Pokemon and more NHL and some XCOM, so.
Okay.
Nothing.
Matt?
Yeah, Pokemon and NHL for me, too. Although today, Cadence of Hyrule was on sale on the Switch, so I picked that up, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
Cool.
But you haven't actually played it.
Yeah, you
have
yet to play it.
Yeah.
Okay. I was since I can't play Pokemon or NHL, as Adam still has the Switch, I should probably get that back from you. How are you enjoying the Pokemon post game, man?
So I forgot to trigger the post game.
Oh.
So I was just running around filling up the Pokedex and getting quite bored.
Did you do the Battle Tower?
I did a couple
of
rounds.
Yeah.
It's just whatever. It's fine. They certainly didn't shake it up. But all of my Pokemon suck, so there's that.
Yeah, you got to get the rentals.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I got to try the rentals. But anyway, I did finally trigger the post game yesterday. I've started it. Those guys are I can't say that word on air. Like they're just not very nice.
They suck.
Yeah, they suck a lot.
I don't like them at all.
Also, have you gotten to the point where you just want to you want to go Edna mode on Hop? Just get a rolled up newspaper, pull yourself together! Oh my god. He's such a whiny little baby.
Yeah. Especially because, the more I think about it, the more it kind of devolves. And after seeing a few other reviews that were quite positive, I was kind of... relieved, I guess, or validated when I saw the girlfriend reviews that do it, and they were just like, if you've never played a Pokemon game before, which I feel like is the lens in which reviewers, like professional reviewers, might be reviewing it, it's a really fun time. And if you have played a Pokemon game, it's the same crap.
I think the word they specifically used was, if you've played a Pokemon game before, it's insulting.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. I'm trying to find... while we're talking about this, I'm trying to find, the Game Awards winners, which I have found. But I don't know if you guys saw, they announced a new Xbox.
Ooh.
But it's got, I think, now I thought the Xbox One was a bad name. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you kind of got used to it. I think this one, I don't know if it's worse, but it's just stop. It's called the Xbox Series X. Just stop.
Look,
pick a word.
If you want to call it the XXX... just get it over
with. The triple X.
Yeah. If you want to call it the triple X, just get it over with.
Or just go with numbers. Like, you just had the one. Do an Xbox 2. You have a long time before you're going to run into a numbering problem. You just skip over 360, go 359, Xbox, like, 35X, and then go to 361. You're fine.
You're good. It didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, people are saying we don't know a ton of information. Apparently, a bit of it was released at the Game Awards. We're going to find out more, I'm sure, in the upcoming E3. It's going to be released holiday 2019. That would be crazy. Holiday 2020, same as the PS5. I don't think they said price range, but the specs are, it's essentially a PC, which shouldn't surprise anybody because it's Microsoft.
Yeah.
And they know how to make a PC or two. So, you know, I don't have too much more to say about that, and I'm not sure if you guys do, but I thought that was pretty standard. I did see what I thought was probably the dumbest headline I've seen in a while, not necessarily revolving around the Xbox Series X, but just revolving around Microsoft.
Yeah.
And that it was, Sony shocked when Xbox reveals surprising partnership. And basically what it was is that they revealed that Halo Reach, I think that's the one it was, and the Mass Effect Collection are both coming to Switch. And, like, that's great, but no one expected them to come to Sony. And Nintendo and Microsoft have sort of been shaking hands and making nice for a little while now. So
it's not that surprising.
It's not surprising at all. You know, I think that Microsoft probably has America dominated, and Nintendo is probably in a more equal share with Sony in Japan. So it just makes sense for the two specialized companies to team up and trying to form some sort of deadly alliance.
Well, yeah, and bringing in, like, other third-party stuff has been, like, an actual, like, major strategy for the Switch.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, I'm not really surprised to see anything coming to the Switch.
It's a union that makes total sense. And honestly, like, as the Switch right now is, it's the only modern, or it's the only current generation console we are having. Let me try and rephrase this. It's a console we won't have to update next year, right? So it's already, the Switch is the Switch. So when you're looking at consoles next year, it's going to be, do I want the Xbox or do I want the PS4? If you're or the PS5, sorry, because the PS4 definitely won this generation. Mm-hmm. I think we can, But I think it's actually, and I'm leaning towards PS5 for next generation too, for the exclusives among other things. But if you got a Switch and the Xbox and the Switch get along and the PS4 and the Switch do not, I think that makes it a really difficult decision.
Yes, it does.
Interesting. So I'd be very curious to see if they come up with more stuff, but, I mean, they gave Master Chief to Nintendo. So everything's on the table. Master Chief in Smash Bros.
When?
Is definitely on the table.
That could totally happen.
I mean, it'd be horrifying, but I would definitely watch it.
I'm not sure I want to see someone, like, quite, like, objectively just, like, shooting Pikachu.
That's what I mean. With, like, a needler.
Yeah.
I mean? I definitely want to see that. I 110% want to see that.
Okay, so let's go through the Game Awards winners. Again, a lot of them are on, like, eSports and Creator of the Year. And, like, congratulations to them, but we haven't really been following them. And also, there is genuinely a show. I don't know if there's a show specifically on UMFM, but just on standard radio, your traditional radio stations, not the community radio stations. There's a specific eSports one that plays on TSN 1290 occasionally. Mm-hmm. So if you're really into eSports and you aren't on YouTube for some reason, then feel free to tune into that because we don't cover that so much here. Okay, so Game of the Year, we had Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, the remake, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and The Outer Worlds. Haven't played Control, haven't played Death Stranding, haven't played Resident Evil 2. Saw a decent amount of covers for all of those. I'm not surprised, and I don't think you guys are too, that Sekiro won.
No, not surprised.
It's also kind of, I mean, this wasn't the strongest year. So it's kind of a legacy pick for Miyazaki,
yes,
I feel like,
it is.
You know?
It's an apology for not giving it to every other game he's ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not undeserving, but in a stronger year.
Yeah, in a stronger
probably wouldn't have got it.
Yeah, like last year. Like if you had, if you put Sekiro up against God of War or Red Dead, I'm not sure if it beats either one.
No. Well, and part of it, like, it's very much, and that's the frustrating thing about only awarding one, right? It's like every year a Soulsborne game has come out. It's been like, this is the second best game this year.
Yeah.
It's always number two. Like, if you did it on a point system, they'd probably win the decade.
I think we got to go back to 2019 and see what, or 2009 and see what happened when Demon's Souls came out.
Yeah.
Maybe. Why is there not a Demon's Souls remake? I want to remaster.
That's the thing. Miyazaki said, he's like, I have a hard time going back to my older work like Demon's Souls. It's like, well, then give it to another company.
Yeah.
And let them update
great.
It.
Great. It was so good.
Yeah. That's the actual one that needs a remaster.
Yes, definitely. Not Dark Souls 1.
Everyone still had Dark Souls kicking around. Yeah. Everybody bought Dark Souls.
Yeah. If especially
nobody
you got a PC,
bought Demon's
you're
Souls.
Still good.
Give it back. Anyway.
Action game of the year. Devil May Cry 5. That was the winner. You're going to hear the winner first every time, by the way. Apex Legends, Astral Chain, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Gears 5, Metro Exodus. Again, I don't think I played. I mean, I played Gears 5. Didn't really play any of the other ones, so I'm going off what I've heard from other people. That seems like it was about right. Action Adventure Game of the Year, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, won. Not surprising, considering one game of the year. Legends of Zelda, Link's Awakening, Resident Evil 2, Death Stranding, Control, and Borderlands 3, all on there. No surprises there, I wouldn't say. Art Direction, this Control game one, might be worth checking out. I also want to check out that Disco Elysium, because both of those have made a lot of...
noise,
Yeah, they made a lot of waves, I think is what I was thinking. But noise works. Yeah. Noise works. I mean, noise is waves, right? Sound waves.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
By the way, looking around for a Game of the Year 2009 seems to be split between Assassin's Creed 2 and Left 4 Dead 2.
I would put Demon's Souls above both of those.
Mm.
Assassin's Creed 2. It's not...
I know.
It's 2.5 that was the good one.
No. 2 was... Because 1 was... It's a lot of fun, but you do the same thing... Mm. 8 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then 2 was, here's everything we promised when we gave you 1. So 2 was a huge leap forward.
It was probably too much.
I don't know. I like it a lot.
And I mean, I also really
game.
Like it, but
I don't think it's better
it
than Demon's Souls.
No,
me neither. Yeah. I would put it over Left 4 Dead 2, though, which was just, like, Left 4 Dead 1.5.
Yeah, it's a Left 4 Dead expansion
It's
pack.
Left 4 Dead more, you know? Further Left 4 Dead. Anyway, Control won Art Direction against Death Stranding, Grizz, Sayonara, Wild Hearts, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and Legends of the Wings of Awakening. Link's Awakening. Wow, that was a... I've had trouble, I think, every single time that I've said that. Control does look very pretty. I think the only one that might have come close in my mind is Link's Awakening was just beautiful. But, alas. Audio Design, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1. I won't keep reading all of them. Community Support, Destiny 2 1. Not surprising.
Yeah.
Content Creator of the Year, Shroud one. I've actually heard of him, so that probably helps. Then it's a bunch of esports players, so you can feel free to look that up. Family Game of the Year was Luigi's Mansion 3. I've heard such incredible stuff about Luigi's Mansion 3 that every time I go into a GameStop to look for games on the cheap, which is probably every week to 2 weeks, Luigi's Mansion 3 for played is, because that's the GameStop version of it. And I know it's not going to go on sale for Nintendo.
No.
That's always one of the top things I go to, because people just say it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Fighting Game of the Year, Smash Bros. Ultimate 1, duh. Indie Game of the Year, Disco Elysium. Game Direction, Death Stranding. I mean, you had to, right? Jeff Keighley had to give his best friend an award. Although I wouldn't have gotten mad at Sekiro winning that either, though. Games for Impact, Grizz 1, Independent Game of the Year.
Is it pronounced Grizz?
Gris?
I always had Gris.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Like
it's
French or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Also on sale on the Switch shop right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll have to find out if it's French. Maybe it's... it looks French.
It looks so French.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Spanish.
Then
Spanish
it's
indie developer. So, yeah, it's got to be goodies.
Sorry. Whoops. Here I am being all Canadian.
Yeah. Looks very good, though.
And a fool. Mobile Game of the Year, Call of Duty Mobile? Sure. Multiplayer game, Apex Legends, Narrative, Disco Elysium, ongoing game, Fortnite,
Makes sense.
Mads Mikkelsen won for performance in Death Stranding. Not super surprising, although I'm kind of surprised that nobody from Fire Emblem got in there. I thought one of them might just like sneak in there, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
Role-playing game, Disco Elysium, score and music, Death Stranding, and sports racing game, Crash Team Racing. Didn't see that one coming.
Nope, that's a surprise.
Props to them. And then the last one that I'm going to read here, strategy game went to our boy, Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yay!
It got on there for something. We were debating, me and Matt, after the show last week, or I think it was after when you came over to my house last week, that maybe Fire Emblem Three Houses could be an RPG? I would call it an RPG.
Yeah.
You have a character.
Yeah.
You know, like to me, maybe the one like a Path of Radiance, that's a strategy game, because you're not Ike.
No.
Ike is just a guy that you get to play with, but you are Byleth.
Yes.
You make, like, decisions and stuff. If you have a conversation options, is that not almost an RPG by definition, I think?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
We got stuff to get to.
So we got to get to the meat of the show here. And that is that we did indeed go through everything on this list. This is the master list that you give me, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, so is low good or is low bad?
Low is bad.
Low is bad.
Okay. So I didn't sort it before I gave it to you, which I apologize for. I don't think, anyway. I think I sorted it alphabetically. Is it sorted alphabetically?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
It's got no sorting whatsoever.
That's very strange. Anyway, so what's going on here is, obviously the listeners can't see this, but you'll notice all the numbers are hovering around 5 because I had to normalize everyone's data so it was fair.
Ah.
So yeah, it's condensed around the middle.
If this is true, I am astonished at the results. I also kind of, if you have and can do it here, can you just aggregate everyone's score? Or you mark for on a curve.
Yes, so but I can. I have the raw data.
Yeah, go the other way. Just give like straight up the. I think the thing I said last week was the Good Mythical Morning version of it, where it's just the scores, the sum, and then the total that each game gets.
Okay, give me 2 seconds.
I will give you many
talk
seconds
amongst yourselves
as I talk to Matt about this. So, mm-hmm. Matt,
yes.
I don't know if you recall making your list, but did you have a top? Because I think I don't think I had one winner,
mm-hmm.
but I believe I had 4 that tied for the winner.
Yeah, I think I had. Let me just check real quick. I have a 3-way tie for winner, and I remember it well because I did it about 3 hours ago.
Okay,
but yeah, I have a 3-way tie between.
Oh, you sorted it by experience, Adam.
Oh, that's why. Okay. I knew I sorted it by something.
Is this not just you that you sent me? I feel like this is just you.
Are you in the right tab?
No.
I did tell you to change tabs.
I'm not. There we go. So overall is what I'm looking for.
Yes, overall
here
is the tab.
Okay.
Man, because, nothing makes good radio like spreadsheets.
Boy, you sure did nuke GTA, Adam. Is this a...
I hate that game.
Okay, but it's not you. It's supposed to be objective.
No, it is supposed to be me.
I gave it the
10 out of 10 for influence it deserves.
I guess. I thought it was objective. Okay, because I graded Shovel Knight even though...
And that's why we have the experience category. Because you'll notice I gave myself like a D or something for GTA.
Okay. Wow. This is... I wish I had read this on air because this is some remarkable information. Okay, Matt, I have your raw data in front of me then. So tell me about your top game.
So I had a 3-way tie between Red Dead 2, Breath of the Wild, and The Witcher 3.
Ah. Doesn't Dark Souls have an 8.83, if I'm correct? So isn't Dark Souls your game of the decade?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm reading this.
Oh, yes, it does. I can't read.
Here we go. You have a definitive winner.
I got blinded by all these like awful repeating numbers.
Yeah.
Yes, so sorry. I have Dark Souls as the winner and then a 3-way tie for second.
Yes. You know what? That's fair. So you gave Dark Souls an 8 in influence. So basically, I guess we went over this last year, so we'll go over it again while Adam's doing this number. Yeah. So we were marking it on a 6-point scale. So influence was industry influence. How much was the industry shaken after this game? I mean, it's tough for the games that came out in 2019 because, frankly, we don't really know. Maybe next year everyone will be doing Sekiro's combat system, but who knows? So influence, story. Now, that's the story of the game. It doesn't necessarily mean, as we were talking earlier, I'm kind of debating. I'm not sure where you guys went with it. I didn't put characters in there because a game like Fire Emblem Awakening, I don't think the story is super great, but the characters are remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that under intangibles.
Yeah, I ended up changing mine to do that as well.
And then something like Dark Souls has a great story, but like not very many interesting characters.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of hidden away. Then we had gameplay. That's obvious. How fun was gameplay?
Mm-hmm.
Visuals, they're probably mostly going to be pretty good, but also not all the visuals are the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Innovation, what did it change the game, so to speak? Intangibles is basically, I think that everyone could have their own intangible for each game, you know, but it's what did that bring to the table where when you're explaining it to a friend, you would be like, oh my God, and this game did something that I've never seen before, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so with that in mind, Dark Souls 1 for you, it had an 8 in influence, an 8 in story, 10 in gameplay, 9 in visuals, 9 in innovation, 9 in intangibles for an 8.83. Wow, I think I was actually the easiest marker then. I was worried about it.
You were.
Well, I'm generous.
By a long way.
I'm very generous. Well, I was also, I mean, we probably should have conferred with each other. But you know what? It's okay. As Adam just said, apparently it's a subjective list.
Yeah, looking at my numbers, the only 10s that I gave to gameplay were for Dark Souls and Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
So I think I like playing Dark Souls.
I didn't give anybody a 10 in gameplay.
Yeah, I had... Yeah, you know what? Let's just go through that. So let's go through each of them. So did anyone have any 10s for influence?
I have two.
I have two.
I have four. Whoops. Okay, so what do you guys have?
I have them for Skyrim and Overwatch.
Skyrim and Overwatch.
I have them for Skyrim and GTA 5.
Well, I disagree with all of you guys aggressively. I gave a 10 to Breath of the Wild for influence, for changing the game. I gave an influence. Dark Souls, I feel, is probably... If I was like grading this on a scale, I'd probably still give Dark Souls a 10. It's a genre now.
Well, see, the problem I had with that was, no, it isn't. Demon Souls is.
Okay, but if you have one thing that's pretty good... And then the other thing blows up. The new thing has more influence.
Well, yes. And I think I gave Dark Souls a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably could have switched my innovation and influence scores for Dark Souls. Because I took a point off of influence because of the Demon Souls thing. But then,
I took a point
I probably
off
should have taken it off for innovation for that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works out the same.
And then I gave GTA 5 a 10 for influence for just dominating the gaming landscape for the past 6 years.
That's what I did, too.
And The Witcher 3. Because, again, it's one of those things. If everything else gets compared to it from it until something else gets... If it's the new landmark, new benchmark, I think is what
benchmark,
I'm going for.
Yeah.
If it's the new bar for things to pass, that gives it the highest points and influence for me. So I don't think you'd be surprised. Although I don't think my highest thing was The Witcher.
I think it was Mass Effect 2.
Was it actually Mass Effect 2?
That wouldn't be surprising.
No, it was Red... No, it was a three-way tie for
Oh, yeah.
You.
I had a three-way tie.
Yeah,
that's right.
I have a three-way tie.
Between two games that came out last year and... okay, we'll get there. So who had any 10s for story?
I have one.
I have one.
All right. Adam,
Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2?
I have Last of Us.
Interesting. I have The Last of Us. I agree with Matt on that. I also gave one to The Walking Dead because the reason that it's on this list is because the story was so darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And I put God of War. I really, really enjoyed the God of War story. And because I was doing characters for intangibles... I gave the extra points to Mass Effect 2 to intangibles, not to story.
That's fair.
Because the story was just basically just like, let's just run around, and we have to destroy the Reapers at the beginning, and we still have to destroy them at the end.
Story was great, but not like groundbreaking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I am officially bumping my Dark Souls influence up, because I just realized I gave it a 6, and I meant to give it a 9.
Ooh. You had it upside down. That happens.
Yes, I had it
us.
Upside down.
Gameplay. Anyone handing out 10s for gameplay?
I did not.
Okay.
As I mentioned before, I have Dark Souls and Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls and Dark Souls 3. I put a Overwatch and Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls 3 is my 9. It's my lone 9. I have no 10s.
Wow. You are indeed a turf marker. I mean, Overwatch is so unbelievably tight. Or actually, I have 3. I put God of War in there, too, because I loved God of War. Like, just even if you can get everything feeling as good as simply throwing an axe and catching it, then you've got a real good game right there.
I think that's a fair point.
Yeah. So but Overwatch is the gameplay loop is so tight, and I think the best Dark Souls has ever been gameplay wise was Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
So that's why I got my 10, not Dark Souls.
Okay.
Visuals.
I'm now ready. By the way, I've adjusted.
Well, let's keep going through all of them. What we thought was the best, you know.
Visuals. I have 3 10s.
Wow. Me too.
I have 1.
God of War, Sekiro, and Red Dead 2.
Okay, I put GTA 5. The visuals weren't just like, I mean, it does look good, but to create basically a huge city like Los Angeles in the detail that they did, it got the points for me. Red Dead 2, again, benchmark, and The Witcher 3. Shouldn't be too surprised, but if you get it on a PC and the PC is nice and powerful, it's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, Red Dead 2 is my 110.
Yeah. Hard to argue with.
It's just like I was not very gorgeous. Nice to Red Dead 2 in general, but I like it. It's pretty. Like, what can you say?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. She's not on the show. Innovation.
I have a lone 10.
I was giving out 10s.
I have a 10 and a 9 and then nothing above a 7.
I don't know how you organize this or if I organize this myself, Adam, but I had a run of like 10 10s on intangibles. Did I really do that?
pretty much.
My
you
God.
Did.
I'm just very generous.
You are. Your average was 8.48.
It's like I said, was it last week that Matt wasn't here?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, wait.
Or
oh, yeah, it was last
sometime.
Week that you weren't here. I'm the good cop. Adam's the bad cop. And we need the middle of grass.
Yeah, so. You know what my average was? 5.9.
Yeah, so we proved it.
Yeah, I think mine was, what, like 7.5 or something
7.5,
like that?
7.5, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I was nice. I guess I could have, like, taken everything. That's what I was planning to do. Take everything and then you know, bump it up.
Yeah.
So within this range, what are they now? You know?
You were also you were very nice to yourself in the terms of experience compared to Matt and I, who were...
If I had beaten a game, I gave it an A.
Yeah. We were like, beaten a game is a B. A is like, I went back and I played it again.
Oh, I see. My bad. I've beaten the game. If I hadn't played it, it was an F. Beaten the game, played a little bit of it, it was a D.
Yeah.
And then, like, B and C was like, I got like, two-thirds of the way through Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
That was a B for me. I got, like,
well, yeah. Anyway, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so innovation. What got 10s for innovation? You guys only gave one each.
Just Undertale.
That's hard to argue with.
Only Walking Dead for me.
Only the Walking Dead. Man, that's a good choice. I don't think I gave either of those 10s. I gave, don't be surprised, The Witcher 3. I gave a 10 for innovation. It did a lot of it different and new stuff. Breath of the Wild, same idea. When you played it, you went, wow, this is new, different, and exciting. That's what got the points for me. Fire Emblem Awakening, innovation, the kid system. I haven't really seen a game do it as well as it's done, if not even attempt it. Same for Three Houses.
Yeah, Three Houses with my 9.
Of absolutely switching everything up.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in there.
Red Dead 2, the open world, and GTA 5. Both the open worlds for what they did in creating as freakishly realistic a landscape. That got innovation points for me. Anyway.
Intangibles. You gave a lot of 10s.
I gave like 8 10s.
I have 4.
To be fair.
3.
Again, probably could have changed it, but... All right, so not only do I want to hear what they are from you guys, not only do I want to hear your scores, I want to hear what you think the intangibles are. So a brief defense.
Okay.
I'll make mine very brief because I just have so many more than you. But Adam, defend your...
Okay,
you defended the thesis.
Yes.
Can you defend an intangible?
Well, for me, the intangibles was... It was one part characters, but it was also sort of just the whole package of the game. The atmosphere and just how sunk into this experience did I get?
Wow, we define that totally differently. That's interesting.
Yeah. And so the three obvious choices there I had were Dark Souls, Fire Emblem Awakening, and Mass Effect 2. Because there was like, I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And intangibles were basically immersion. How in was I? And like, and you'll like this, I have a 9 in The Witcher 3 because when I was playing that game, if I wasn't in combat, I was in.
Yeah.
And then I got into combat, and I was suddenly out again.
Yeah, The Witcher 3 has remarkable scores for me, except I was honest and gave it a 7 in gameplay, which was... I don't think I ever gave... No, I gave a couple 5s, I think. But, yeah, that's pretty much as low as I went, but I went that for The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, let's be honest. So, Matt, did you... when you were defining an intangible, mm-hmm. did you go more with my side, as in it's the thing that you can point to? Is like, this is what this game did differently, or was it more just a general feeling I got? Which also, I guess, is a fair definition. Please don't beat me with that. Oh, it's a back scratcher.
Okay. I kind of used it differently for each game.
Okay.
So it was like, what was special about that game in particular that made it stand out?
Yeah, yeah.
So for, you know, something like Dark Souls, although I actually think I ended up boosting points for innovation on this, like something like the world design, where sort of everything sort of is overlapping on itself and that kind of thing. That was a thing that gave, you know, Dark Souls an intangible. One that I gave for GTA was all of the whole online thing and like the heist system, stuff like that, is so beyond the like original scope of the game.
Yeah,
that for me kind of went into the intangibles portion. So it was kind of, you know, different things for each game. It was like, what was the one thing that made this the game special?
And you gave 4 of them?
Sorry. I did. I gave 4. So I gave it to Skyrim, just for the sheer amount of stuff.
Yeah,
that's fair.
There's like, you know, there aren't many games where people can play hundreds and hundreds of hours and like never actually have really progressed in the story.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. I also gave 2 GTA 5. For the, you know, all the online and heist things. The things you can do within that game are not things you can really design for.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still find find a way into it.
If you spend $60, you just get so much game.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, if you combine GTA Online with GTA 5, you've just gotten, the amount of game per dollar is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also gave for The Witcher 3.
Aha.
Similar reasons to Skyrim, basically. Just the sheer amount of stuff that you can do in that game, and just like all the like side branching stories that aren't really part of the actual main thing are crazy. And then also to Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild, I probably could have, all my reasons could have been put into other categories, but I just felt like it did so many things so well and so many new things that it just kind of deserved that extra point just because.
Yep, that's fair. I won't have to double up because a lot of what you guys said, I'm going to say, like, I had the top one I had for intangibles, gave Breath of the Wild the 10, obviously. I completely agree with what you just said, Matt. And that it's just, I think intangibles for in this case was just, it was just such a well-designed game. You know, the whole, you hate it at the beginning, but the fact that you constantly are going through weapons quickly, it does make you think, and it's just one of those things where, if you're on a tower, they've designed it so you can almost always see at least two towers,
yeah.
Right? So there's even though the game is vast, and it feels, I would say, intentionally empty in a lot of parts, there you always, because of the way it's designed, feel like there's something more to do. You can always see the next thing. Dark Souls, I won't rehash it. You guys just said it. You know, people are definitely studying Dark Souls in terms of level design and all that other jazz. Fire Emblem Awakening, maybe it's because I have a soft spot for it, but again, to have it totally revitalized a series that was about to die, and now it's one of Nintendo's biggest series. And the character customization in that game and in the stories and just getting attached to that many characters that well is very, very difficult. I also gave it to Three Houses for a similar reason. But just we haven't had a real, I guess Persona, but we haven't had a really like good Harry Potter game. You know,
yeah.
So mm-hmm. like ever. And it's definitely been attempted. So to kind of pull off that coup, to me, got some major points. GTA 5, I don't have to re-go over it. You just said it exactly perfectly. God of War, I think, like I gave it max points for story as well. But it just went above and beyond in the kind of way that sticks with you like a year and a half, 2 years after. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that it's basically a play that you're watching that also happens to have an astonishingly good video game in it as well. So pretty easy there. Mass Effect 2, the characters, I threw them in the intangibles instead of the story. Don't have to defend that 10. Pretty obvious. And then, of course, The Witcher 3. If you want to know why The Witcher 3 got a 10, listen to our podcast for the last 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I've talked about it extensively. But in short, it's because the side quests in The Witcher 3 are literally better than the main quests in a lot of games. Very easy to say. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go to commercial, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to find what our statistically we've rated the highest, and then perhaps debate and see if we can come up with, we'll come up with them out. Yeah, a game of the decade, or even like a Hall of Fame of the decade, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, people. Welcome back to another Power 50 Now episode of Game Over, because we went a little long in the first half. So a little bit more housekeeping news. First of all, yes, if you want to find us on podcast forum, please do it. Also, I don't think I've said today, so like us on Facebook, gameover.com, UMFM. Feel free to send us a message with what your games of the decades were, because we haven't had a chance to play every single game, and we know that, so we'd like to know what your opinions are. And the other thing is, next week we're going to be doing a holiday-themed episode. So UMFM is doing a ton of holiday-themed episodes, so I encourage you to stay tuned to UMFM, especially if you're maybe you're a res student who's still here over the holidays for whatever reason, or if you just roaming around, want to avoid your creepy racist uncle, that might be a thing. Feel free to listen to UMFM. We'll probably be on here, and we'll be talking. We'll be doing another hour episode next week, and we're going to have... I have a feeling that there's something coming out this week. This isn't me, like... joking. I know I do that a lot. Oh, yeah, it's The Witcher. It's the TV show coming out next week. We're definitely going to talk about that on Game Over anyway, though, because I'm very excited. The early reviews have been positive, so I'm, like, cautiously optimistic. Optimistic. There's a word. Okay, so after we have compiled the numbers...
We have.
Adam, we got a master of computer science here to run these numbers.
Yes.
And so what we found is that... what we're going to do, instead of having a huge debate and trying to come up with a game of the decade, no one likes that because I probably would change game depending on the day.
Yeah.
What we are doing is having a Hall of Fame, the top tier, the creme de la creme, in no particular order. So we're going to, Adam's going to list the games. They are unknown to Matt and I, although we can probably guess.
Probably.
And then we will just talk about why they're great, basically. So, game number one. Adam, are you ready?
Yes.
Reveal it to us.
God of War.
I didn't realize how long that sounded. Like,
I was waiting for the crash. I was like,
that's pretty great.
Yeah.
God of War.
God of War.
Yeah.
For
that feels right.
Yeah. Strong, very strong in the story and visual category and good everywhere else. Like, it was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, especially, I don't know if you guys are on Twitter as much as I am. I know, Adam, you used to be on Twitter a lot.
Yeah, I have.
But just, I have a lot of sort of game-related people in my Twitter feed, you know, game journalists and game developers and kind of stuff like that. And it's just astounding how many times someone will say, you know, bring up a game that you kind of got lost in or something similar like that. And then people will just be talking about God of War constantly. It's just been such an industry landmark. Matt, have you got a chance to play it?
I haven't played it. It's still in the wrapping.
There's a couple huge spoilers that I'm like really impressed that we've been able to talk about it this much and dance around. But my God, please do it. Especially because I know I've been telling you to play The Witcher 3 for years. Mm-hmm. That's like 200 hours. God of War is honestly like 20.
Yeah, it's not that long.
It's like a good weekend of gaming.
It's like number one on my list to do over Christmas while I have more time off.
Yeah.
Especially because, as we said, like they fully, not just voice acted, but they fully like acted. Like all the main scenes, and there are a ton, are literally mo-capped acted. They got the characters, they got like the props. So if he's pulling a boat, he's actually pulling a boat. If the kid is there doing something, it's because the kid is actually there doing something. And it shows. It's a remarkable experience.
Really well polished.
Okay, Adam. Unless you have something more to say about God of War, I think we can move on to game number two. I won't cut it off early this time.
Dark Souls.
Obviously. Okay.
That's the happiest Dark Souls that's ever sounded.
Yeah, that's true. Dark Souls is not normally a happy game. And you know what? I'm not going to say that Dark Souls is probably should be a, you know, the game of the decade because we're making a tier, not a list.
Yeah.
But man, like if you had to think, what trend of the decade? You know when your people are going back, like, what trends of the decade you're going to remember?
Yeah.
I think the Dark Souls might have made the biggest splash of any one game. Do you know
creating,
what I mean?
Yeah, the Souls genre.
Mm-hmm.
Creating an entire genre to itself. And then just being known and as being difficult.
Yeah.
And not being known in the way like Ninja Gaiden, I think, was difficult because like the enemies were sort of rigged against you. But it created sort of a genre of gaming where it was difficult but doable. It made you learn a skill in the same way that when you're trying to like play an instrument, you have to learn a skill. You know, it wasn't just about twitch
reflexes.
It was beyond that.
And it's also one of the great things is that it defined a genre that it's still the best at. Like that's one of the things is that, you know, Doom defined a genre, right? That was the first major FPS. But there are other games since that are much better than Doom.
Yeah.
But there's no Souls-like game that's better than Dark Souls.
And everything still gets compared to it, whether it's in a similar vein, like something like Neo comes out. It's like, it's like Souls-like difficulty. Other things come out. You know, Pokemon comes out and people make jokes. It's like, it's no Dark Souls for difficulty.
Yeah.
Everything across the entire spectrum gets related to it.
Yeah.
You don't really get that with really any other game for anything. Maybe Breath of the Wild for like, you know, a kind of world expansiveness. But
even now,
really
people don't say that as much anymore. They did the year it came out. But it's the Breath of the Wild talk has gone quiet.
I mean, as much as I hate to say it, I think you could put, in terms of stuff that people talk about like that, I think you could put Mass Effect, Breath of the Wild, and The Witcher 3 in there. As in, like, for a little bit, they were compared to it. But all of those have trailed off a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Dark Souls, 10 years later.
Still talking.
We're still talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every day, pretty much.
I think people talk about it for, I mean, decades more still after this for its level design.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be studied like Portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might not be gaming 101, but it wouldn't be far along where if I was a professor
gaming
in the future. Yeah, you know, there are a certain amount of games that I would assign to people you know, Ocarina of Time would be one of them. Like, Super Mario 64 would be one of them. It's like, these are the first games that where you figured out how to play in a 3D space.
Yeah.
You know, you should learn because no one knew what they were doing back then. And Dark Souls clearly is one of them.
Yeah. Ready for number three?
Yeah, I think I am. Honestly, we could do a Dark Souls theme podcast. Because it just does... It's famous for the difficulty, but it does everything well.
I know. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The atmosphere, the ball, everything. Okay, I'm ready. Here we go.
Mass Effect 2.
Okay. Okay, so now we're talking.
Yeah. Would it even be this show if this wasn't in the top
five?
Now this is pod racing.
Well, see, the thing about Mass Effect 2, and this kind of comes across in the numbers, is that across the board, it's not the best at anything, but it's what I was talking about with the awards show with Dark Souls. It's number two everywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the best influence. It doesn't have the best story, the best gameplay, the best visuals, the best innovation, the best intangibles, but it's really good at all of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because I know that they sort of pulled back from the, excuse me, RPG space, which you liked.
Yeah.
Although, it sort of defined for me the type of RPG where I like, which is not the Outer Worlds where you pick up every can of tuna. It's like if you pick up something, it should be, like, significant because, wow, I got a new gun. This will be different and radical than my other gun. Not just a reskin, but it's got a plus one. So for every five bullets, it does one more point of damage. No, that doesn't make any sense to me. Whereas Mass Effect is not that type of game, and it just... Yeah, I mean, it turned... That's when I think I became the hugest fan of Mass Effect series. It's still my favorite series of all time. It's probably similar for you, Matt, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's kind of what Adam said. It's like, when I think about it, there isn't really one particular thing that stands out to me. It's just everything was so good. Like, you know, more leaning towards character and stories and all that kind of stuff. But, like, it wasn't that it was necessarily groundbreaking. It was just that it was, like, the best version of all of those individual things.
Yeah.
It was probably the first game I've played where I'm like, oh, we actually should give voice actors awards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, the amount of... I mean, because if you think about it, it came out in 2010, and it's crazy to say this now, but in 2010, games weren't necessarily all voiced. Do you know what I mean? Like, you might have some games that are all voiced, but there would be frequent times where it was like, oh, and this game, by the way, is fully voiced. Like, it's a little thing that you had to check off on the box, whereas now it's just, of course they are.
Yeah. But voiced well.
Yes.
Yeah, and, like, voiced by absolute top-tier not talent, not the, like, compilations you can find of terrible voice actings of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
All Your Bass Belong to Us. Those are, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the dialogue systems at the time, like, blew my mind.
Yeah, the wheel, I don't think, like, it's been frequently imitated, but never perfected as well as they did. It's so simple and so obvious. And I think, when I think about Mass Effect 2, it's usually when you're playing an RPG, you have to compromise on something. For example, The Witcher 3. It's a great game, but you have to compromise on gameplay. You just let it go because it's like, well, it's such a great game in other specs. You can't expect them to get the gameplay that good. Yeah. Mass Effect, they did! They found a way! So... major points for that. Okay.
We got two more to get to, and we're running out of time.
We'll do it. Here we go. Get you every time, eh?
Yeah. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Wow. What a backloaded... I mean, we had... What happened to the middle years of this decade? My goodness, because I feel like this is number four, right? I feel like
I
know...
this is four.
I feel like I know what number five is going to be, and yet there's a couple obvious... exclusions. This is crazy. So we've had God of War, Dark Souls, Mass Effect, and now Red Dead Redemption 2?
Correct.
I mean, as the only person who's beat it, it's similar to GTA 5 in that if you go online, it's like an entire new experience. I haven't even touched that. But, I mean, people talked about it for being basically a cowboy simulator. It's more of a simulation than a game. But what I think the real impressive part is that, I mean, we're known as, like, the Twitch generation.
Yeah.
The ADD generation, right? We have no focus. We have no nothing. We want everybody in the instant now. And then all of a sudden you have a AAA game where everything is so slow. You have to cock your guns before you fire them. You have to clean them. You have to eat or you'll be underweight. Your horse will poop. Your horse can get underweight. You do all this stuff with a borderline mad level of detail, and it takes forever to get anywhere, and we ate it up. That is very impressive.
That's true.
To get people to totally about course on that type of thing. So,
before I reveal what the last one is, I wanted to mention that the next five, the honorable mentions, are also set. They were the same in both lists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we'll read them off.
Not the same order, but the same.
Yeah, well, so this is our S tier, and maybe we'll read the A tier and we won't defend them as much. But the last of our S tier, the Hall of Fame for the 2010s. Don't forget there is that little flourish at the end there, Adam.
Yeah.
I get you every time.
Breath. I'm kidding. It's The Witcher 3.
Yay! You know what? Honestly, because when I was thinking, I'm like, it could be Breath of the Wild. It could be Skyrim, honestly. Yeah. I've spoken enough. I don't know if any of that wonder, sense of wonder, has sort of washed off on you guys. Yeah, it's just really good. And it's transformative. And I encourage everybody to play it. Like, there's a friend of mine, shout out to Haley if she's listening, who started playing it the other day. And I'm like, please, God, stick with it. Even if you put it on just the lowest difficulty story in Sword, please stick with it, because it will change the way you think about how good an RPG can be. That the side quests don't have to be terrible. You know, they can all be A++. Okay, so that's our games of the decade. That's our Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So that's the S tier. What is in the A tier? We won't even do the drum roll for them, because they're only A tier.
So the A tier consists of, in alphabetical order, Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Souls 3.
Wow.
Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Wow. Good for Fire Emblem.
Sekiro.
I mean, we did vote on this, so I shouldn't be surprised.
I know. And The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
Interesting.
It. You know what? It deserves to be there, though.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't disagree with any of those.
Telltale blew up. It then literally blew up.
Yeah.
Although recently one of the things announced at the Game Awards was they found somebody. I have no clue who's doing it, but they're releasing The Wolf Among Us 2.
Oh, there you go.
So there's a little bit of positive news. But yeah, those all definitely deserve to be there. So that's your top 10, your S tier and your A tier. And the rest of them we'll just put in B tier, because that's the way pyramids should work. Right?
Yes, pretty much.
More or less. There should be
the
more
worst
stuff on
the
bottom.
The worst of the best.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys have had this. That's our list. Feel free to hit us up on Facebook if you think that you agree, if you disagree, whatever you want to do. Is there anything that didn't get included on that list that you guys sat around for a week and thought, oh, man, that should be there?
I just want to reiterate how sad it is that no Pokemon game is on that list. Not because I think any of them deserve to be there, but that it's sad that none of them deserve to be
there.
When's
the last time you would have put a Pokemon game on the list?
Red and Blue? For influence?
Yeah, for influence, maybe.
Oh, no,
I kind of Black and White,
Emerald.
Too.
I loved Emerald.
Yeah, Black and White. Emerald was a good game.
Yeah.
Black and White, too, were good. I think Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I think they might have been in this generation, but they were probably, I would say, the last two really great ones, because even Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they sort of lost the plot on that one a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, like, I mean, yeah, Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Like, Ruby and Sapphire, like, they had a stretch there. That generation, Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, those were all spectacular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were doing something new.
I think generations, like, 3 to 6 was sort of, they were on a little bit of a run.
Yeah.
But the problem is with a 3DS game, unless it's truly transformative, it's tough to compare. I mean, we did have The Walking Dead, which is probably could have run on a 3DS, honestly.
Yeah.
So we're not immune to that. But
we had Awakening.
Yeah. Actually, we had Awakening, too. So there we go. We got a little... Yeah. Do we have a single PSP game on there? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So we need to check our biases, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that the three people who own a PSP will be livid.
Or I guess it was PS Vita after that.
Strong lack of Vita games on here.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, is there anything on that list that you thought should be there?
It's a pretty good list, I think.
I like our list.
Yeah. I was trying to think of, you know, other things that I might, like, throw in as write-ins, and I couldn't really come up with anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should do a trash list at some point, just the worst game.
You know what? I once got asked, I'm not sure if there's anybody waiting to bang on the door, but I once got asked when I was reviewing games for the school paper why I gave every game such good scores. And I was like, because I'm not playing the bad games. I have to buy these with my own money.
Yeah, we don't get review copies or anything like that.
So I'm picking the games that I think will be good, and they turn out to be pretty good. Except for Brutal Legend. I think I got the lowest score I ever gave it, like a 3. Yeah.
Well, what was it? Didn't you buy Brutal Legends instead of Dark Souls?
And then returned it and bought Dark Souls.
Yep.
Which is the right
That's
call.
That's a great story.
It was the right call. Anyway, maybe we'll tell that story next week on our holiday episode. But in the meantime, everyone have a great week. Have a safe week. And we'll see you next time.